Hello and welcome to the Camping Crew Podcast with Chris and Aaron.
Hi everybody, welcome to episode 184 of the Camping Crew Podcast. I'm Aaron Burchell.
And I'm Chris Byrne.
As always, it's meant to be a fun podcast. We're just enthusiasts on what we discuss on the podcast and just our own personal views. Although we do look into things that you ask us to look into.
If you'd like to support the podcast and if you can afford it, you can buy us a coffee at ko-fi.com/thecampingcrew. I want to say a big thank you to Adrian and Liz for donating this week. They sent us a message that, hi guys, we're here in Dixfield for the weekend. Just got myself a Ridge Monkey from the guys at Buckle Wheel. Tried Arne's ham and cheese toasties. Went down the treat and they just asked for stickers, so they should have those already. And we also got a contribution from Agnes and Paddy. Binging on the Camping Crew podcast and the Charlie and Me videos. Keep up the good work, guys.
I would just like to say, Adrian and Liz, never, ever, ever have I suggested a ham and cheese toasty. It was cheese and tomato because Aaron doesn't eat meat. However, I'm glad you got the Ridge Monkey and they are brilliant, aren't they? You still use yours quite a lot, don't you?
Yeah, they're handy in the motorhome.
Just camping, yeah.
You can have your two frying pans or your flip over frying pan. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And thank you guys for supporting the channel. Now, there is a lot of good news, I think, and I want to bring you a story from the Motorhome Working Group Ireland. It's a Facebook group and it's a group that keep in touch with us. They were on Galway Bay FM, an interview this morning. Jason Carmody and Paul Glynn from the group. Paul is actually a local lad from Galway, and they were chatting on the radio about to Keith Finnegan, about lack of facilities in Galway City and Salt Hill. I would suggest that you log on to Galway Bay FM, it's galwaybayfm.ie, go to the podcast and just look out for Keith Finnegan Wednesday, the 2nd of August. It's about a 20-minute interview and the guy's got some fabulous points across, and hopefully somebody from Galway City County Council were listening to it.
Yeah, Galway always gets bad press on Facebook and that for the way they handle or treat motorhomers there.
But you see, here's one of the points the guys made, and it's a very valid point. On Galway City, now there's a Galway County Council and Galway City Council. Galway City stretches as far as Salt Hill. And under bylaws, it states that anybody in basically a caravan, motorhome, or a motor caravan or a camper van, any vehicle that can be lived in, may not park within the resides of Galway City at all. So people were getting tickets for pulling up in the prom in the afternoon and maybe go and do a bit of shopping, and they come back and they'd have a 40 or 50 quid ticket. But it's in their bylaws, and they're the only county in the country to say that you cannot park here at all. So the guys, the Motorhome Working Group, are trying to get all that changed. And as I say, go to galwaybayfm.ie, look it up. It's the Keith Finnegan Show from today, but it was a very good interview and some valid points made there as well. Some positive stuff made as well.
Maybe they have enough tourists and don't want any more people earn.
That's probably what it is, and we're not thinking that at all. Darren was on as well, wasn't he, during the week?
Yeah, Darren sent us in an article from the Echo Live. The headline there is Cork County Council workers to identify possible locations for motorhome parking in Carrigaline. So I think we spoke about this kind of earlier on in earlier podcasts as well. Just to give you a feel for that article. So the information there is Cork County Council has confirmed it is working closely with Carrigaline Municipal District to identify suitable locations to potentially develop motorhome parking facilities in the region. The answer was provided to Fianna Fáil councillor Audrey Buckley last Monday's Carrigaline MD meeting after she put down a motion seeking an update on RV areas for the Carrigaline Municipal District. So I'm going to have a read of that. I said go to the echolive.ie, and that was posted on Thursday the 20th of July.
It's good news. And you know what? Bula Bots, a round of applause, because Cork did it with Cove. They've done it in Middleton. Well done for, look, they seem to be people that talk about it and then actually do something about it. Thanks to Stephen C for sharing as well. Wicklow Town Airs Park site for campervans in Morrow. I believe they've turned the sod on that. It's available on quite a lot of the Facebook groups if you want to read those stories. Stephen brought it to our attention during the week as well. Well done to Wicklow Town on turning the sod on that.
Yeah, the original article was posted there on the Independence Wicklow section of the paper, but it appears to be down now. But look, if you want to look back in any of the groups on Facebook, as Aaron said, you'll find it there.
And more good news, councillors in Tipperary Care Cashel District have referred to an issue of additional facilities for camper vans in the towns of Tipperary, Cashel and Kerr to the community and enterprise section of the council for further examination. This appears on Tip Midwest Radio, which is a local radio station based in Tipperary town. Again, councillors looking for facilities for camper vans. As you know, Clonmel, 10 to 12 bays have recently opened there. And if we can get similar in Tip Town and Cashel and Kerr and other towns around the country, that would be good news too. So we keep you updated on that. But again, if you want to go to tipmidwestradio.com, you'll find it there under the heading of Call Made for More Campervan Facilities.
Yeah, especially areas like Cashel and Kerr would be very popular tourist destinations with the castle in both of those towns as well, and plenty to do up around there. So as you said, always welcome there. So look, that's the news I think for this week, this 2 weeks. Plenty of news there and more to come, I'd imagine, as the council seem to be embracing a lot of this more. So might not be in time for this season, but hopefully we'll have a lot more places to park up for the people, you know, who don't necessarily want to use a campsite for particular town visits. They have other options to use.
And if you come across anything like Stephen and Darren did, please do get in touch. We'll give you all the contact details at the end of the podcast. Let's go to listeners' message now. Follow up from stuff that we've covered on other podcasts.
Yeah, we got an update from James regarding our last discussion there on his decision whether to get a new van or convert his existing one. Yes. So James says, "Hi guys, thanks very much for reading out my mail on the podcast. There was a lot of food for thought there. I think what we might do is have our current van refitted to suit our needs. With our current budget, that may offer the best option. Mechanically, it is running perfectly, even with 171,000 miles on the click. There are some rust repairs to do, maybe even have to replace one of the back doors." She said, "Thanks for the advice, Aaron. But also, let's see what the listeners come back with. Thanks a lot. Regards, James." Speaking of that, we did get an update from one listener, Peter, who sent us a message there. He said, "Chris, for James, who's looking to refit or build a new van because of the new arrival in the family, he should, if he can, add two bunks or the provision for a second bunk, as they may have another kid, and then he'd be into his third refit if he didn't plan ahead for the van build." And that's not a bad idea. And I did suggest in a conversation with Peter that, you know, that second bunk could be a fold-up bunk, you know, yes, or a pack-away bunk that, you know, he only needs to put it down should he need to.
Yes, well, Lisa and Oliver from our fantastic family on Instagram refitted their bunk, and they now have three bunks in their van. Sorry, they refitted their van for the second time. We met them at our meetup, was it 2 years ago in Tree Grove? But now that they've three children, they've gone and fitted it, and it's the same van. So it can be done, and it can be done on the budget that James has as well. Just do your homework, find out like what you need, and like Peter says, maybe think ahead in case there is going to be another Bob Og on the way.
Rita has sent us an email there, Aaron, with some YouTube suggestions. We were talking about different people to follow kind of over the last episodes on YouTube. She says, "Hi, Chris and Aaron. Have just had two camping trips, one to the Glen of Aherlow, one of the best weather weeks, and then back to Westport House. Since then, I've been watching all the fantastic camping videos on YouTube. Number one, of course, being Charlie and Me." Well, that goes without saying, I think, Aaron. She also suggests people to check out Kieran and Alice in Ireland, and they have fantastic drone coverage, she says. AB Camping, and to finish off, Go 4x4. And she also gave a shout out to the Van Buzz, who we interviewed, you might remember, Aaron, on episode 164, who's got a cooking element to his van videos.
Yes, he's in a Volkswagen T5, I think, and goes to wild camping spots. And it is mainly about the cooking, but very good videos. And I love his drone footage and his editing. I've got to be honest, I don't watch it for the food, obviously, but I do look at the Van Buzz on YouTube for his editing.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's really good. And I suggested back to Rita to check out, if you might remember, a long while ago, Darren Gallagher sent us a recommendation for Lost in Transit.
Yes.
So we've been following those for the last number of years now since then. And I suggested those to Rita. I also suggested Pamela and Johnny, I know, are regular listeners. And I suggested Life's Too Short and Getaway Geese and a few of those others. There's lots of options there to suit people's different tastes, you know.
Rita went on to say that she hopes to get down to Nagels for the bank holiday weekend. If anybody is heading away this bank holiday weekend, stay safe and she'll let us know how you got on. We also like to know, you know, did it go well for you? And don't forget campsitereview.com. You can log on and leave a review wherever you're going on that. Now, this is pretty intense. Hayden was on to you and he's looking for a little bit of help.
Yeah, so I'll read this, Aaron, and you can share your wisdom with us. Hi, guys. I've been listening to most podcasts over the last year or so. Very easy listening and very helpful to many of us. I bought a converted 6 berth 08 Iveco daily minibus about this time last year for our family of 5. It's been great and the difference in us getting away so often. I have a C1 e-license and the camper is a C1 license. I'm thinking of converting the camper to be able to put all the bikes in the back, meaning taking out the bottom 3 beds / sofa. My reason for this is I'm thinking of getting a caravan also, so that you have the best of both worlds. So we have the camper fully kitted out for day trips and the caravan then parked up for the convenience. To me, this seems like a no-brainer. Has anyone ever done this sort of setup and how has it worked out for them? So question for the listeners there. He said it's plated for 8.7 tons. Lots of flexibility there. Mm-hmm. So he also adds, he said, I've looked into some 40-foot containers from China in recent years for different things, like from bringing home house items, machinery, garden rooms and aluminium gazebos and all sorts. He said the caravan I'm looking at is a long-term investment from China. This caravan is built for the Aussie Outback. He sent us some pictures for those as well. I might share them if I get Aidan's permission. But it's like a caravan, a 4x4 caravan, off-road
it's like
caravan.
On steroids,
So he says, anyone ever tried to import some items like this from China? How did that go for you? Looking forward to any feedback from the listeners. Regards, Aidan.
I suppose the fact that he has imported stuff in containers before is going to help him anyway, so he's not new to it. I've never heard of anybody importing a caravan. The caravan photographs he sent us, ladies and gents, are fantastic. Literally, it looks like a big 4x4 caravan. Anyway, to get back to his Iveco, the only negative thing that I can see about converting it, like by taking out the bunks and the sofa and putting all the bikes in, so I can see if you want to go away on a day trip, right, you have less seating space for having a bit of food and stuff. You know, if it's a wet day and you're not out on the bikes, I know it's not for sleeping. It's a day van. And then you miss out on places that are, and there's a lot of them opening up, the likes of Ardmore's or places that don't take caravans, that only take camper vans. So you're limiting yourself even to wild camping. You know, like in the van, it's easier to pull up the Cumrahs, where the van and even that big caravan, you know, there's a few negatives on it, but I can see our point in doing it.
I'm guessing that the camper, you know, is registered as a camper, say, on the logbook now after the work being done. So maybe what he could do, rather than ripping them out, maybe making them fold up or fold away. So when he wants to, he can fold away the beds and put all his bikes in. And then when he wants to leave the caravan behind and just go for, you know, a one-nighter or go to Ardmore, that
don't
he
bring
can leave
the bikes
behind,
yeah,
fold down the beds, and maybe that sort of thing. So again, he's got even more of the best of both worlds.
Yes, yeah. I would definitely look at that option than doing away with the bedding altogether and just putting in a big boot to take 5 bikes, because you may not have the caravan with you all the time.
Yeah,
and then you really have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, that flexibility would be great. So look, a couple of suggestions for you. But look, as always, we want suggestions from the listeners as well. Has anyone done something like this? How has their experience been? You know, what's their recommendations and advice for Aidan?
And has anybody imported a caravan or a vehicle like that from China? Again, as I say, he seems to have done it before in containers, but we would love your help. We'll give the contact details in a few minutes.
Yeah, you had a video out today, Aaron. We're online watching it this morning. Very good.
Yes, we had a Vanville video, which gets you up to date to last Friday. The situation where we are now at the moment, as from today, I have a DOE date for the 24th of August. So the van, I'll just be driving it around the yard because I really wanted to get insurance on it to run it in for a week or two before the DOE. But unfortunately, I can only get insurance on the day of the DOE. And if it fails, the insurance will be cancelled until all the repairs are done. So the video today gets you right up to last Friday, but now here in the podcast, I'm telling you, the van is ready to be DOE'd on the 24th of August. I'm in there for a cancellation, but because of the insurance crack, I just rang the DOE back and said, look, let's just do it on the 24th of August, because otherwise I have to try and get insurance quicker. So that's where we are. The van build is up there, youtube.com/CharlieAmierCampingVlog. I've no review video this Friday. And of course, with it being the bank holiday weekend, we're heading off to St. Margaret's and we've already done a review of there. So I won't be reviewing there this bank holiday weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure like over the next few weeks with all these little parking spaces popped up in Clonmel and Wicklow town, mm-hmm. might be worth maybe throwing a few of those in as well. Maybe.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I was to get away this week, but again, we'd family stuff came in this week and myself and Charlie are going to try and get away. I do know that the day, please God, when that van passes, the DOE, after its maiden trip, which will be a video to the Glen of Aherlow, myself and Charlie will be gone Tuesday. We'll be doing an awful lot of podcasts from the VW because we will get away, especially to the smaller places with the smaller van. So I'm really, really, really looking forward to it.
Excellent. So we've a couple of questions and tips and that to close out the podcast. So the first one I thought was very interesting one, and I'll read out the question, Aaron, and get your thoughts on this. So I got a question in from Ward, and Ward said, look, do I need to have gas in a motorhome conversion? So if you convert a van, do I need to put gas cooking in? Aaron, what do you reckon?
Right. To convert a van to a camper van slash motorhome, there are criteria: cooking, eating space, storage, and sleeping. Once you have those four things, you can go do your build, get an SQI agent in who will certify everything. The cooking can be an electric hob or it can be gas, but you must have cooking facilities, eating facilities, storage facilities, and sleeping facilities. It does not have to be gas.
Look, a question here now. Do they have to be like permanently fitted?
Yes, they have to be fixed. So it's not here's my countertop and take out a two-ring gas burner or a portable hob. The cooking facilities must be fixed to the countertop. And then You must have a dinette, sleeping and storage. Now, the dinette can be stored, you know, you just once you hit those four things. Now, and then an SQI agent will certify the build. Now, he looks at to make sure that tables and chairs don't move while you're driving. There's a lot more for an SQI agent to do. Here is the thing, and I only found out today. A lot of self-builds tend to get insured through the Motor Caravan Club of Ireland. Not all, but a lot, due to restrictions. Now, also, to be a motorhome, you must have, or a camper van, you must have access from the back into the driving cab. Now, that used to be you must have a door access, but now it doesn't have to be a door. So you can now build your kitchen behind your seats. But once you can jump over that kitchen top into the front of the van, they call it fluid access. You must have easy access into the front of the van. And now the Motor Caravan Club of Ireland will not insure a self-built van with electric cooking facilities. It has to be gas. So if you're at the putting in a beautiful induction hob, the Motor Caravan Club will not insure your self-built. 100% no. They will take it with gas, but you also must have access to the front.
That's an interesting one. Maybe a question for the listeners on this one is like, do you have a camper van conversion that has no gas? Did you get insurance? Who insured it? You know, be interesting to know. Because look, it seems to me, you know, not putting gas in a conversion, if I was going to do it myself, seems like a little bit less stress.
Yes, you know? Yes.
Because I get gas put in, obviously, with safety concerns. I know there's obviously safety concern with electricity as well, with anything. But it just seems to me you can get a kind of a electricity system, a kit for your
yeah, you can get induction hobs that run on low electricity, low wattage. You could even run them off inverters if you're going 100% off grid. But I was just chatting to Bill today because I was insuring the VW and I brought up this and he said, oh, by the way, we do not, because they do insure most of the self builds. So he just said, mention on the podcast, electric hobs are out.
Yeah, I wrote down in my notes as well, just about this term SQI, because it can be confusing. So an SQI report represents an official documentation that's required when the purpose of use or some other detail of a vehicle that has changed means that it no longer matches what's displayed on the logbook. So in order to provide these SQA reports, the establishment in question needs to meet a certain criteria. The SQI is actually the abbreviation of the term suitable qualified individual, and the report in question is what's known as a revenue declaration of conversion. So just a bit of clarification there as well, because it always confused me a bit as to what that meant.
When you're doing the revenue declaration, they don't care if it's gas or electric. I'm just saying that the Mora Caravan Club will not insure electric, but you can have electric cooking facilities to change it on the logbook, but then you may have insurance problems.
Yeah, so if you are doing a conversion, when you're looking into your SQI, also look into your insurance at the same time, because they both go hand in hand.
Yeah, I recommend that. It's like when we say look before you book with the Charlie Me videos, or try before you buy with renting a motorhome. Do your homework, have an insurance company on standby for when you have all the paperwork done and the logbook says Mora Caravan. And then, do your homework. It's getting tighter and tighter.
To close out the episode then, I was reading on Facebook a week or so back, Jamie for Strand Campen put up some good advice to tourers, you know, to make, I suppose, tourers' lives easier, but also campsite owners' lives a bit easier as well. You know, it's not an easy job looking after the public. It can be quite stressful and stuff. So look, I think if you've got a happy campsite owner, you've got a lot of happy campers. And in fairness to Jamie, now he runs an impeccable site up there in Doombeg. So look, it's worthwhile sharing, I think, this advice with everyone on the podcast. I had to get Jamie's permission to mention on the podcast as well, because, you know, he's a very informed person, and he's a camper himself, so he certainly knows it from both sides, you know. So I'll go through the first point. He says, look, after we got a one-star review for declining the occupants of a motorhome water to fill up their onboard tank 40 minutes after we closed for the night, I thought I would share something I've learned in my years of touring in a motorhome. Nearly all fuel stations will let you take water from them if they are opened for either a small fee, or sometimes you can fill up your tank for free if you've gotten some fuel. He said, so if you plan ahead, or your 100 litre water tank suddenly becomes empty, there are viable alternatives other than going to campsites.
On a related note there, he was saying Ireland has very short camping season, and during the peak times, namely July and August, there are more campers than campsite pitches. Now, whilst there are some campsites that will always help a stranded camper out and squeeze that person in, there are other campsites, like mine, he goes on to say, that don't compromise the safety and enjoyment of the existing customers by filling every little bit of grass. He said, I am constantly amazed by the sheer numbers of people who arrive at my site without a booking and have no plan B if we are full, especially as half of these people have already travelled to West Clare over the last few days or weeks from Belfast, Dublin or Rosslare.
Yeah, and he goes on to say, if you don't know exactly where you're likely to end up when you set off in the morning, then perhaps a phone call to a campsite in your general direction asking it to have space would save a bit of stress at the end of the day. He said, there's a phrase I have seen on many notice boards over the years: piss poor planning on your part doesn't create an emergency on our part. So I think that's some good advice. On a final note, if you decide you are not to travel to a campsite that you have pre-booked, please have the courtesy of letting the campsite know. There are probably other campers who will be very grateful for that pitch that you've left behind.
Yes. Can I just say that this bank holiday weekend, as I said, we're heading to St. Margaret's and they were full. And thankfully, somebody did ring Trasa and cancel. They had the cop on and said it to her. Look, you've probably got people waiting. So thank you to that person that did have the cop on. As he says there, if you decide that you cannot travel to a campsite, just please have the courtesy of letting them know. And not just during July and August. I think that is just pure manners. If you can't make it, let them know. And that way then they can either fill the pitch, or maybe the pitch will go empty, but at least they know it's available.
Yeah, it should be the same across the board. Whether you're booking a restaurant, you know, you turn up, and if you don't turn up, you know, just pick up the phone and ring them. Yeah. You know, most people are not going to, they're not going to chew the head off you on the phone. I think they'll be grateful for you to let them know, so they can let somebody else have the, in our case, have the pitch. And that it's, I think it's just common etiquette, common courtesy, you know.
Yeah, that is it. That's episode 184 down. We love getting all of your messages and ideas. Thank you to everybody who has contributed to today's show. And please do keep in touch. We'll give you the contact details in a couple of seconds. Remember, if you want a sticker, a Charlie and Me sticker or a podcast sticker, we'll gladly send them out to you. We need your name, your address and your air code, including your postcode in the UK. Please do get in touch and do let us know about your campsite suggestions, your reviews of products or campsites or any news item that you'd like us to look into, and we'll keep you updated on everything that we've spoken about on today's podcast. To get in touch, you need our contact details, and Chris has them.
Our webpage is thecampingcrew.ie. Our email is campingcrewpodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, are now called X, you'll find us at The Camping Crew. On Instagram, we're at The Camping Crew Podcast. Facebook, you'll find us posting in all the good motorhome and camping groups. And you can also record an audio message on your smartphone and email it to us. We'd love to get that as well.
And don't forget, we have campsitereview.com where you can log on. It's a forum. It's free and it always will be. And you can read other like-minded people's reviews on campsites and camping products. And indeed, you can put in your own reviews as well. And then we've got our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Charlie and Me, our camping vlog, and we put up campsite reviews on Fridays and the van builds on Wednesdays. That is it. Thank you for joining us for episode 184. And I say it every time, if you see us on a campsite, please do call over and say hi. From me, Aaron, stay safe.
Yeah, and thanks for listening, guys. And as I say every week, if you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with your friends, family, and subscribe. And if you're on an Apple device, sure, give us a 5-star rating. We'd be delighted. Thanks for that.
Well, that's it for another podcast from The Camping Crew. Thanks for listening, and do join us again very soon. Safe camping.